I think it made her feel so sad that she couldn't take care of her baby girl, commented her niece, Mary. She had been able to somewhat take care of the boy, and so he got to really have a mother's love. It was just a very sad situation. It really was. It wasn't even simply Catherine's health that now kept her from the kids. Mary Jane was still very small, and her mother worried desperately that the glow she gave off in the dark was harming her baby. They were almost afraid, remembered Mary, to have Mary Jane interact with her mother. They really didn't quite understand the radium sickness and what it might do. That was the sad part. I suffer so much pain, Catherine wrote to Pearl, and she may not simply have meant her aching hip and jaw, that at times I feel my life was pretty hard to bear. Stuck on her own in bed all day, Catherine was incredibly lonely. Charlotte now lived in Chicago. Pearl lived miles away in LaSalle. Though the girls wrote to each other, it wasn't the same. Catherine exclaimed in a letter to Pearl that December, I have so much to say, one cannot give it all on paper. Her loneliness leapt off the page. It has indeed been a long time since I have heard or seen any of you girls, and it seems like writing to a stranger. I only wished we lived nearer one another. Still, at least she could be honest with them. As to my health, she wrote bluntly, I am still a cripple. Her isolation meant she had no idea what was happening in the court case. We have not heard from Grossman ourselves, and I can't understand, Catherine wrote to Pearl. Tom is not working now, or I would call him long distance and find out if he is coming down. Seems funny he has not written, doesn't it? But Grossman had been too busy to write. This is the first of the radium dial cases, he later said, and I can leave no stone unturned in reaching for all the light and truth and all the facts of record. He did, however, drop the girls a festive card with every good wish for a happy holiday season. And Catherine took his advice to make that Christmas a happy one. Though Tom was still unemployed, she wrote in upbeat words to Pearl, It makes it bad around Christmas, but one mustn't complain. When Father Griffin visited to give her Holy Communion, Catherine sent a little prayer up to God to give thanks for all her blessings. She and Tom and Tommy and Mary Jane might be poor, and Catherine might be sick, but they were together at Christmas, and that was something for which she was simply very, very grateful. The new year, 1938, was all about preparing for the trial. The court date was set for 10th of February, 6 days after Catherine's 35th birthday. Grossman was as busy as ever, and now spending more time in Ottawa as he prepared the women for their testimonies. Since it was winter time and Illinois weather could be fierce, on occasion he had to pull out all the stops to make it there. They went back and forth, recalled his son, Len. I know one time the roads were bad, so he rented a private plane and somebody flew him down there in a 2-seater or 4-seater plane. It was a typically flamboyant Grossman gesture. The day after Catherine's birthday, she and Tom struggled to make what was now an extremely laborious journey to Chicago for examinations by 3 physicians, Dr. Loeffler, Dr. Dalich, a specialist dentist, and Dr. Wiener. The latter took x-rays of her radium-filled bones. This trio of doctors had agreed to testify in court, and they would base their testimony on the exams. They were shocked as Catherine staggered into their offices that Saturday morning. She was, Sidney Wiener recalled, a woman appearing much older than her given age, and walking with the assistance of two people, markedly emaciated, with an ash colour face.